From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First headline. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin stressed similar standard in handling of COVID-19 and drugs. Jokowi highlight economic revival in the post-pandemic era and regional cooperation at virtual 36th ASEAN Summit. Now, news in detail. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin called for standardization the handling of COVID-19 and narcotics, psychotropic medication and drug that guarantee the people right to live and develop optimally. The handling of narcotic and COVID-19 necessary that the application of similar standards specifically to provide guarantee and protect the right of people to live, grow, and develop optimally. It was said by Vice President Amin Ma'ruf State while delivering a speech at the opening of the commemoration of International Day of Anti-Narcotic in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin emphasized that the common enemy in the form of COVID-19 and drugs should be eradicated since they were great threat. President Joko Widodo drew attention to two key issues during the virtual 36th ASEAN Summit on Friday, held to discuss economic revival in the post-pandemic era and regional cooperation. The President of the Republic Indonesia in his remark brought up two main issues, with the first pertaining to the importance of the ASEAN to strengthen cooperation concerning the acceleration of ASEAN economic recovery. It was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at the Presidential Palace in Bogor after the high-level meeting, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Marsudi added that Jokowi reiterated the declining economic growth owing to the COVID-19 outbreak while also delivering the latest IMF report on revising the world economic growth to -4.9% from -3% as announced earlier. Soccer fans down under have plenty to celebrate as Australia and New Zealand will be hosting the 2023 Women World Cup. The 2023 tournament will have 32 teams instead of the usual for 24 and will be the first Women World Cup held in the Southern Hemisphere. In Thursday announcement, FIFA President Gianni Infantino said along with expanding the number of competing teams, the council would seek more ways to invest in growing women's soccer.
Women's football is crucial for FIFA. It is so important that we have decided, the FIFA council has decided, to award $1 billion in the development of women's football in the coming 4 years.
The two countries beat out a competing bid from Colombia by the comfortable margin on Thursday, FIFA Council vote. Japan, which also made a bid to stage soccer's biggest tournament, dropped out on Monday after they ranked below Australia and New Zealand joint bid. The World Health Organization lead coalition fighting the coronavirus says it needs $31.3 billion over the next 12 months to develop and roll out tests, treatment, and vaccine. As quoted by Reuters, renewing for global collaboration against the pandemic, it said $3.4 billion had been contributed for the coalition to date, leaving a funding gap about $27.9 billion. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, the Director General Special Envoy for the Egg Accelerator, said of that $13.7 billion was required to cover urgent need. The WHO is working with the large coalition of drug development, funding, and distribution organizations under what it's called the Egg Accelerator Hub. It aims to scale up delivery of 2 billion vaccine doses, including 1 billion to be brought by high and middle-income countries by the end of 2021. Swedish state epidemiologist Anders Tegnell has rejected a warning from the WHO that included Sweden among countries in Europe at risk of a COVID-19 resurgence. As quoted by BBC.com, the WHO on Thursday said several countries and territories were seeing a rise in infection. 11 were in the UN Agency Europe region. Dr. Tegnell told Swedish TV it was a total misinterpretation of the data. Sweden has been a rise in cases, he argued, because it was testing more. But the WHO said the proportion of those testing positive for coronavirus remaining at about 12-13% despite increasing testing. The United States recorded an all-time daily high of 40,000 coronavirus infection on Thursday, figure from Johns Hopkins University, GWHO show. As quoted by BBC.com, a recent surge in the infection and hospitalization has prompted the state of Texas, Florida, and Arizona to pause reopening plan. Texas governor ordered bar to close and announced other target measure on Friday to bring infection down. Florida announced it was suspending alcohol consumption at its bar. GHU previous high of 36,400 was on 24th April when less testing took place. The U.S. has 2.4 million confirmed infection and 122,000 deaths more than any other country, while some of the increase in daily cases recorded is down to the increasing testing, the rate of positive tests in the same area is also increasing. An Australian lawmaker is to be suspended from his party following report his office is facing investigation by National Security Agency over alleged link to China. As quoted by BBC.com, authorities raided at the home and office Saquet Mosomane, a New South Wales state politician, on Friday. Police and intelligence agencies said it involved an ongoing investigation but did not give further detail. Mr. Mosomane from the opposition Labour Party is yet to comment publicly. His leader Jody McKay said media report that the raid involved possible allegation of Chinese government interference within Mr. Mosomane's office were dreadfully concerning. That is the news read out by Antin Supriyati.
The first news comes from East Nusa Tenggara. The spread of COVID-19 in various countries is very high, including in Indonesia. However, the province of East Nusa Tenggara managed to place itself in the low-risk zone or yellow zone on the COVID-19 distribution map. In fact, national COVID-19 data as of June the 24th shows the province had zero additional positive cases of COVID-19 over the past few days. East Nusa Tenggara COVID-19 Task Force spokesperson Dr. Ardo Maria Jelamu on Thursday, June the 25th, explained the key to the success of the implementation of health protocols in the province is community awareness itself. This is also supported by the supervision of the regions and regional apparatus on the flow of people between regions. In addition, routine socialization about health protocols is carried out in various mass media, both conventional and new media, as a strategy to reduce the spread of positive cases. The next news comes from Surabaya, East Java. Public recreation places in Surabaya may be open as long as they meet the requirements set by the Surabaya mayor on Regulation Number 20A-2020 concerning the new normal order. In addition, owners are also required to conduct a self-assessment and then report it to the Surabaya City Culture and Tourism Office for evaluation. Head of the office, Antik Sugiharti, to Radio Republik Indonesia RRI on Wednesday, June the 24th, explained that each public recreation place was required to submit a letter of permission to the Surabaya City Culture and Tourism Office to be reviewed in relation to procedure for preparing business premises in implementing health protocols. The letter that has been submitted is then carried out an administrative analysis of the completeness of the business license. If these requirements have been met, then the team from the Surabaya City Culture and Tourism Office will check the field or place of business. The latest news comes from Palangkaraya. The central government has determined the location of the XPLG Peatlands project in Pulang Pisau and Kapuas Central Kalimantan for the Food Estate National Strategic Project. This food estate program aims to support national food security. Food estate is an integrated food development that includes agriculture, plantation, and even animal husbandry in the area. Chairman of the Indonesia National Youth Committee of Central Kalimantan, Rahmat Handoko, told RRI on Wednesday, June the 24th, he hoped the program would be able to improve the economy of local residents around the project. Furthermore, in the food estate area that will be built, it is better utilize local labor that already exists in Central Kalimantan. Well, that was news from Indonesia. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on June 27, 1954. The opening's nuclear power plant in the Soviet Union became the first nuclear power plant in the world, which produced 5 kilowatts electricity. 2 years later, the nuclear power plant was built and operated with different functions in England. While in France, the first nuclear operations center was exploited and began production in Chinon in 1963. Nuclear technological models became a trend for energy throughout the world, even though the production cost was expensive in 70 until 80. Finally, the Chernobyl disaster in 1986 had made human beings thinking over the nuclear usage as a power plant. The next event is that in 1993, the United States attacked Baghdad. On June 27, 1993, by using long-range missiles, the United States attacked Baghdad and surrounding areas. The attack was launched because the United States accused the Saddam regime to be involved in the suspected assassination of U.S. former President George Bush Sr. when visiting Kuwait in April in the same year. In the attack, 6 Iraqi civilians were killed and Iraqi security office was destroyed. The last event is that in 1997, Rachmaninoff and Abdullah Nur signed a peace agreement. On June 27, 1997, President of Tajikistan Imam Ali Rahmonov and leader of Islamic struggle of the country Abdullah Nur signed a peace agreement in Moscow, Russia. By the agreement, the civil war in Tajikistan ended. A year later, after the independence of Tajikistan in 1991, following the fall down of Soviet Union, there appeared conflict among the groups which wanted to be run by Islamic government in Tajikistan with pro-Russian group. Finally, the conflict erupted to be a civil war which caused many casualties. The United Nations, Iran, and Russia tried to be mediators between the two groups, which finally succeeded to pass the signing of the agreement in 1997. Based on the agreement, 30% of government positions were given to Islamic group, and their Islamic soldiers were involved in the Tajikistan military. In addition, an amendment was made to the Tajikistan constitution, which accommodates the will of Islamic groups. And listener, that's today in history.
Mata indahmu di bawah bintang-bintang, terbelah hatiku antara cinta dan rahasia. Ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, jangan kau pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa kau salahkan.
Oh, ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, jangan kau pilih dia, aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Bukan ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa kau salahkan. Wow, wow.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on Ministry of Trade encourages APEC members to take active role in handling COVID-19 impacts. The Indonesian Minister of Trade, Agus Suparmanto, encouraged the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or OPEC Forum, to play an active role in accelerating the handling of the impact on and after the COVID-19 pandemic. To that end, the Ministry of Trade, through the Directorate General of International Trade Negotiations, continues to actively participate in fighting for the acceleration of the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and economic recovery in the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, Forum. According to Agus Suparmanto, in a release issued on Wednesday, June the 24th, unity, synergy, and collaboration are key in overcoming the impact of COVID-19. APEC Economic Minister of Trade agreed on the statement on COVID-19 by the APEC Ministers Responsible for Trade, or MRT, on May 5, 2020. This became a joint agreement statement in dealing with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in the Asia-Pacific region. Following up on an agreement with the ministers, the APEC Trade and Investment Committee held a virtual extraordinary meeting on Tuesday, June the 23rd. Director of ASEAN Negotiations, Directorate General of International Trade Negotiations, Antonius Yudo Triantoro, as chair of the Indonesian delegation, said that the declaration of the ministers in trade was a form of rapid response from APEC economic members in overcoming the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Specifically to improve trade facilitation, strengthen supply chains, and use of digital technology. Yudi Triantoro said that the meeting focused on the efforts and economic initiatives of the members in accelerating the handling of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic through three steps, namely facilitation of trade and medical devices, agricultural goods and food, increased supply chain resistance, and the third is provide ease of mobility for business people and health workers. According to Yudi Triantoro, the APEC Forum needs to have a quick wins program that focuses on strengthening trade facilitation and handling non-tariff barriers that are increasing. Strengthening APEC's main work program, exchange of policy information among APEC economic members, and strengthening capacity building activities in handling a pandemic are expected to accelerate economic recovery in the Asia-Pacific region. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Ministry of Trade encourages APEC members to take active role in handling COVID-19 impact. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the World.
Dengar jelas bintang utara memanggil satu hari yang dinanti terpancar terang di bawah langit terlihat jejak setapak mengarah dan ku sedang mengikuti sampaikan salam. Cara sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Jarak tujuan terlihat dekat memandang garis batas di lautan yang membiasku kan datang sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara
ikut bicara, sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati Anissa. Mudah untuk menemuinya di sana, di bawah aura. Kulalui tanah air dan udara, aku kan datang, aku kan datang.
Sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalu. Sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati Arumi Samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Oh, dari hati lalui tanah air udara.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. The province of East Java province has many interesting natural attractions such as exotic beaches, majestic mountains, and photogenic waterfalls that should be visited. This time, I'm going to introduce you to one of the beautiful tourist attractions, the Niyama River. Although the name seems Japanese style, the Niyama River is not located in Japan, but is located in Besole Village, Besuki District, Tulung Agung Regency, East Java Province. The Niyama River in Japanese language, Ni means two, and Yama means mountain. The meaning of the name is the river that lies between two mountains. Niyama River is about 2 to 3 meters deep. The beauty of this river is undeniable. Random and large orange rocks, clear river water, and beautiful natural surroundings make this Niyama River appropriate with photogenic and peacefulness can be felt. For tourists who want to enjoy the beauty of the Niyama River, they should visit during the dry season, because at this time, the rocks will be clearly visible and the gradation of the color of the river water will also look beautiful, whereas in the rainy season, the water will turn turbid and the currents are strong and dangerous. To get to the Niyama River is not too difficult, you just need to follow the directions. The road to be passed is also good, and you can feel the air freshness along the road because there are lots of green trees. In addition, the access to the Niyama River is quite easy, and there is no official party that manage this tourist area. So to enjoy the beauty of this river, visitors do not need to pay an entrance ticket. That was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Niyama River in Tulung Agung, East Java Province. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Bye-bye.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about the irrigation based on the Internet of Things developed by the Agricultural Research and Development Agency. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. the development of modern internet-based agricultural technology 4.0 is time to be implemented in Indonesia in a bid to improve the sustainability of Indonesia as an agricultural country. This aims to continuously meet the increasing food needs and to achieve the ideals of becoming the world's foodborne. One technology that can be applied is sensor and automation technology in the field of irrigation and fertigation, which is well known in Indonesia, especially in controlled greenhouse systems. Agricultural Research and Development Agency through the Center for Agricultural Mechanization Development, or BBP MECTAN, in 2019 developed a smart irrigation technology based on the Internet of Things. This technology was developed by a sensor system that reads the condition of the land in the form of conditions of soil water content and the surrounding environment, as well as a control system for turning on and off the irrigation valve by using a microcontroller that can be connected to web server. Data monitoring and control of the IoT system are carried out through the internet network from the web server with the address at www.smartfarming.litbang.pertanian.go.id. The server has programmed two actions that can be performed as feedback. First one is the automatic watering action if the data communication with the server shows the need for watering actions as set by the user based on the threshold value of the soil moisture sensor reading. The second action is that in addition to being programmed automatically, the web server also provides a remote watering feature that can be spontaneously clicked on by users from different locations. The internet-based control system using this web server allows for future development towards control features that can be used not only for watering, but also for providing nutrients and detecting soil fertility and specifically connected with other plant growth elements. That was Mesalani for today. Thank you for listening.
betapa cinta ini sungguh berarti, tetaplah terjaga. Selamat tinggal kasih telah pergi selamat.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Merah Delima. The song Merah Delima is an original keroncong song. It has been sung by some Indonesian keroncong singers, but there is no information about who the writer of this song is. Merah Delima tells about a ring which has red color like pomegranate. The ring circles on the ring finger and becomes love's sign of a couple. The ring as binding promises will be maintained and stored until the end of life. The song is sung by Indonesian keroncong male singer who has power in vocal character. He is Toto Salmon. Well, listener, here is Toto Salmon with the song entitled Merah Delima and accompanied by Bintang Jakarta Orchestra led by Budiman PJ.
Thank you. saksikan cincin yang bermata. Melingkar jari manis tanda hati setia.
Voice of Indonesia.
menderita kecewa di hati.
sing it for me, girl.
Do you love me like I love you?
Of course I do.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.